years, I've told myself this is the year that I'm going to lose weight and get skinny. What I've learned for this year is, I'm just going to say this is the year I'm going to lose weight. And the reason I'm saying that this year is I ate so much this last couple weeks that I know if I just go back to a regular diet at the beginning of the year that I'm going to lose a little bit. And so I'll be able to say that that accomplishment is met and achieved and well done. I can tell, did people have good snacks this week? Yes? No? I can tell because you guys are lethargic right now. You guys are still kind of like food coma, you know, when you've eaten a little too much and your brain doesn't work quite as well and you're like, man, I really just need to get to the couch and take a nap, right?
Amen, brother.
And I know that right now I am all that is standing between you and that couch. So I will try to make this as pleasant as possible and give you just a few tips for this year. You know, it's funny. Does anybody make New Year's resolutions? Yes? Show of hands if you make any. Okay, do this one for me. Have you ever made the same New Year's resolution multiple years in a row? If you're ever wondering if you're a good God, go back and look at those. You're a terrible God. You know why? You lie to yourself more than anybody else does. I mean, literally, if I just go back through mine, like a decade, you're going to get skinny this year. And I normally make that resolution by telling my wife, like, are you going to be okay when I'm the hot one? Are you going to be able to handle that when it shifts and I'm the one everybody goes, like, how did you get him? You know? That's normally how I let her know that is my New Year's resolution. For 5 years, I've made the other lie of, this year, I'm going to bed at a reasonable time. No more being a night owl. I'm going to be well rested. I'm going to wake up at 5 a.m. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to do that in the morning. That never happens. Happens for about 2 weeks, and then what happens? There's one day you snooze the alarm, and then every day from there on, it just gets so much easier to snooze that alarm. So New Year's resolutions, I mean, I always think they're a great thing because, yes, it's a great way to set some goals for the year, but I also think it's one of these things where we can kind of look back at our own year and our own goals and ask us, where are we at? Where are we at as people? What are we focusing on? Where are we putting our energy towards? And what I want to do today is look through a book called Joshua. And I want to look at a few different sections that, to me, are great for this time of year where we, one, kind of wrap up a year, and two, kind of set our vision on a new year. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up with me to Joshua chapter 3, verses 7 and 8 is where we're going to start. While you're going there, let me just kind of give you some groundwork for where we're at with Joshua. So Joshua is a young guy who's put in an interesting situation. He is asked to take over leadership of the country of Israel and follow in the footsteps of Moses. Now, if you think about replacing any leader, that can be very difficult to do, let alone Moses, who, even if you're not someone who believes that the Bible is the Word of God, even non-believers will tell us Moses is one of the most significant leaders in the history of mankind. The things that he led, the people that he led, where he brought them to, he is one of the most impactful leaders that the world has ever known. So if you imagine being Joshua, are you excited about filling in for that guy? It's probably a little bit of fear, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but I always remember when I was in school and I used to do speech competitions, I always hoped the guy before me was terrible. Because the best way to be a good speaker is to have a really bad speaker go right before you. It's why I don't like that Maria sings so well, because then when I get up here, you're like, this is the low part of the sermon. It's better to come up and have low expectations and you can blow them out of the water. Well, Joshua, he's asked, hey, I want you to fill in for Moses. Big, big feet. Big shoes to step into. And so what I want us to look at today is just a few things that happen at the beginning of his leadership where God sets him up for success and God gives him a vision for victory. All right, so let's look at Joshua chapter 3. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 7, it says, "And the Lord said to Joshua, 'Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river.'" Now let me clarify something real quick here. The Ark of the Covenant. Anybody seen Raiders of the Lost Ark? All right, so some of you at least know what I'm talking about when I say the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was basically a large chest that God had his people build. Now, at different times in history, there were different things that were in the Ark. We know that there was, at points, Aaron's rod. We know at points there was the tablets with the Ten Commandments on it. We also know at points there was manna, which God had fed his people from, that were in the Ark. But what the Ark truly represented on earth was the presence and the holiness of God. And so as Israel would travel, they would carry this Ark on these gigantic poles, and basically that represented our God, Yahweh, is with us. He is physically with us. And so when you hear the Ark of the Covenant, what I want you to really translate that into your mind is the representation of God Almighty. Okay? So let's jump back in. Verse 9, Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord, your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe, and as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap." So what I want you to see here is there's something that's happening. One, not only is Joshua in a place of fear, but the Israelites themselves are in a place of fear. Think about these people and think about their journey. If we go back 60, 70 years ago, their descendants are slaves in Egypt and have been slaves for hundreds of years. These people aren't warriors, they're not fighters. They're a people that have a slave heritage and have basically spent the last few decades wandering in the desert. Well, now they are at the brink of the promised land. They're this place that God has said, this will be your home. And what they know they have to do now is they have to conquer that land. So all those names that I read that end with the ites, all those ones that are hard to read, those are the peoples they know they're going to have to take over. Well, for them, this is a very scary thing. Because these are established peoples, established armies, and so they too have this fear within their hearts. Now, what's neat about this is, do you see what God is doing? These people, these Israelites, these are the descendants. They're the children and the grandchildren of the Israelites that crossed the Red Sea. Do we all remember that story? Remember as Moses is leading the people out of Egypt, Pharaoh's army is approaching them from one side, they're standing looking at the Red Sea at the other, and what does God do? He parts the Red Sea, and on dry ground, the people of Israel cross across. And as soon as the enemies come into the sea, what happens? God closes the waters upon them, and in this moment, God saves his people. Now, I want you to think about something for a second. Imagine you're Moses after that happens. Do you think you have some credibility with the people? Do you think people buy into your leadership? Do you think people buy into the fact that God's with you? Do you think they buy into the fact that God is guiding you and is leading you towards victory? Absolutely. These people have just seen this unbelievable, miraculous sign, and they go, this man is leading us on the path that God has set for us. So I want you to now look at that and realize, what is God doing for Joshua? In a very similar manner, what he's saying to these grandchildren and these children is that stories that you guys have heard in the past, that power that once was displayed, you're going to see it again. See, what God is really trying to get these people to understand is remember your victories of the past. And brothers and sisters, this is something that I think is so important for us to do as we look at 2013. As a human beings, we are terrible at doing this. I mean, we've talked about this all before, but you can have a fantastic day happening, and one bad thing happens, and will that day be a victory or a defeat? It'll be a defeat. And in fact, you'll talk about that, you'll remember that, you'll share it with people, you'll post it on Facebook, you'll make sure everybody knows about that terrible thing that happened, when the reality is so many other great things could have happened that day. As a people, it is important for us to look back and remember the victories that God has brought us. And I know some of you probably have that little voice in your head going, if you knew what my year was like, you'd realize that's real quick to do. You'll realize realize that there's not a whole lot of victories there, Luke. And this is where I got to challenge you, and this is where we got to remember who we are as a people. You and I are adopted by God as part of His family. That means we are His children, which means no longer are we to look at things with the eyes of the world, but we are to look at them with the eyes of God. We are to see things from a spiritual standpoint. So, brothers and sisters, just a few things to look at. One, your darkest day, your worst moment that your life will ever bring you has already come. The worst place that any of us could ever be is to stand before our God with the sin guilt upon us that we can't pay. Brothers and sisters, without Jesus, there would have been a time that you and I would have had to kneel before the God Almighty and give account to Him for all of the sin in our lives. When we look back and we remember what happened on that cross, when we remember that Jesus, in His perfection and in His purity, sacrificed His life for you and for me, and even more glorious than that, when we remember 3 days later, He rose from that grave and defeated death, what you and I realize is our darkest days have already passed us. Any moment you and I face from now is all uphill from where we've been. And so as you look back at this year, what I urge you to do is to think about things from a spiritual perspective. Because brothers and sisters, what the world will try to convince you of is that victories come with popularity, or they come with job title and position, or they come with the money that's in your bank account. But what God wants you to see is that real victories come in your spiritual growth and in your relationship with Him. I'll be honest with you, as I look back at my life, probably some of the most growing times in my life, some of the times where I have been the most reliant and the closest to God, have been those times that the world would say were defeats. Some of those times that people would look at and go, "You're losing right now." As I look at them now, I realize, no, I wasn't. I was winning. Because in those moments, what I was realizing is that there was more to life than all this lies that we hear from the world, and that what really mattered was where I stood with Him. I can tell you some of the darkest seasons from a worldly perspective have been the most important in the changing of the course of my life and of setting me on the right path. And so as you look back at this past year, what I encourage you to do is look at them with the eyes of God, not the eyes of this world. How have you changed? How have you grown? How have you become closer to the Lord, more reliant upon Him? How have you worshipped Him more completely? Because brothers and sisters, in the dark times, there are victories to be found. And I encourage you, as you look back past this year, do not let those moments pass. Of anything, one victory I can guarantee you that we all share in is what God has accomplished at our church this year. Not only have we grown in number, but we've grown in spirit. And we feel that God is leading us to accomplish great things within this community. And that comes not just from me or from any of our leadership, but it comes from the hearts and the work of everybody that's sitting in this room. Remember the victories that God's given you. Flip with me to Joshua chapter 4. I want to go a little bit forward. I want you to see something else that God does. In Joshua chapter 4, we're going to read 19 through 24. It says, "On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, 'In the future, when your descendants ask their fathers, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over it. The Lord your God did to the Jordan just what He had done to the Red Sea when He dried it up before us until we had all crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God.'" So a cool thing that God has Israel do after they cross the Jordan as he has that when the Ark of the Covenant is sitting in the middle of the sea. He has a man from each tribe go out to the bottom of the sea and pick a giant stone. And they bring these stones and they set them up on the shore and they build them up like a memorial. And the reason that God does this is that he says, I want this to be a visual sign to you and to your children of the victory that has been accomplished in this moment. I want, when you look upon this memorial, to remember the power that resides in your God and remember just exactly what he's brought you through. See, brothers and sisters, one of the things that I think we miss sometimes is that our God likes to party. Our God likes to celebrate. One of my favorite passages to read through is Exodus chapter 12, the Passover. Now, when you're reading Exodus chapter 12, the reason I always smile when I read this is God spends half of this chapter explaining to Moses what's going to happen. He spends the second half of the chapter explaining to him, here's how you're going to celebrate this for generations to come. This is how I'm going to save you, and this is how you're going to celebrate that from this point forever on. Our God loves to celebrate the victories that he brings us in the day. And what I encourage each and every one of you to do as you remember back past the year is also to celebrate a good year. Celebrate what God has done for you. Celebrate how you have grown. Take time to smile a little bit, to laugh, to enjoy life. I say this all the time, but it's ridiculous. We show up at church sometimes and we have these slumped over shoulders and we look like we just dragged ourselves out of bed, and we got to realize we're the people of God. Our darkest day has been saved. We know the brightest light, the greatest love, the most powerful being in the universe. We have a relationship with the Almighty where we have no secrets, no lies, no falsehoods. And yet sometimes it's hard as heck to get a smile on people's faces. Why? Why? We should have a bounce in our step. We should have a smile on our face. We should have a joy in our hearts that can't be contained, that can't be stopped. Sometimes we just got to pause in the moment and realize life is good. Life is good. And we should be thankful for each of the days that we have. Make it a practice in your life to celebrate the victories that God gives you. Because there's two things. One, when you celebrate them, it makes you marvel at just how amazing he is. And two, the second thing it does is it gives you confidence to move forward. See, when God brought these people across the Jordan, two things happened to them. One, they remembered those stories their parents told about crossing the Red Sea, and what they realized crossing the Jordan was, that was real. My parents weren't making it up. They weren't exaggerating. They weren't making it seem bigger than it was. That is exactly what God did for them. So it made them celebrate that past, but the other thing it made them realize is if he can do this, if he can do this, then you know what? I'm confident we can handle what's out there ahead of us. I'm confident that if he can bring us power to this moment and this place, tomorrow he'll be there too. Don't let your victories pass you by. I don't know about you. Is anybody a journaler? Does anybody journal? Dear Diary? No? I try to. I'm not very good at it, but one thing I do is I have my journal that, it's funny, is if you read my entries, it's like I'll write once a week for 2 weeks, and then I won't come back for 6 months. And then it'll be 2 months, and then 3 months. But one thing I do every week is on the front cover, I have my victories of the year. And anytime there's something that just makes me want to high-five somebody, anytime that there's something that I just want to celebrate, anything that I get down on my knees and just thank God for, I write it in that book. Because you know what? There's days that I need those memorial stones. There's those days where you're feeling down in the dumps, where you're feeling like the world is beating you up, where you're feeling like you just want to give in. And when you go back and I flip open that book and I just start reading all the things that God has just done this year, I go, get up off your knees and realize God's got this. God's got this. He's taken care of you in the past. He's done amazing things, and He's going to do them again today. Use those past victories to celebrate and to build up your confidence. Now, brothers and sisters, one last passage I want us to look at today. This time, flip back with me. Flip to Joshua chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, God gives some amazing wisdom that I want to leave with you today as you set about your course for the next year. In Joshua chapter 1:1, it says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." I want you to think about this passage, because I think there's amazing wisdom in it that God shares with us about how to be victorious in life. I'll be honest, for most of my life, how my plans or resolutions have gone has been this way. I will sit down and I will go, "All right, what do I want to accomplish this next year?" And I will list out what my goals are and where I want to see myself in a year from now. And then you know what I do next? I then ask God to help me make those things happen. That is a completely foolish way to do things. What God reveals to us here is the real way to be successful in our lives. And what He says is start with me. Start with my word, start with my commands, and make that the basis of where you're going and where you're heading. I love how He says it. He says to Moses, "Take the book of the law I've given you. Do not veer to the left or to the right." Stay on target. Stay on focus of where you're headed and what direction you're moving in your life. Because brothers and sisters, here's the real question that I have for you. Is God really your God? I want you to think about that for a second. Is God really your God? See, sometimes I think we miss the significance of that word God because we use it interchangeably for His name. God tells us His name is Yahweh. I am the I am. And what I want you to think about for a second is Yahweh the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is He truly your God? Do you wake up each morning realizing that He is your master? That He is your teacher? That He is your Lord? That He is your King? And do you ask Him for the steps that you are to take? Or rather, do you do what most of the world who calls themselves Christians do, and that is we treat God as an advisor. We treat Him as the secondary source of information and guidance, and what we do is we build our own path, our own plan, and then we go, "God, how can you help me get that? How can you help make this happen?" What we do is we don't really act as God is our Lord. We act like we are our Lords. We decide the path we want, we decide the things we want, and we decide how and when we will pursue them. And what we ask is, God, help make that happen. We'll put our plan first and try to bring God's blessing upon that. And what God says, that's not the way it works. He said, Joshua, you want to be successful like Moses was? Then make me the foundation of your life. Take the word that I have given you and use it to guide your steps each and every day. You want to be successful? Come to me each morning and ask me which direction to go. See, brothers and sisters, the first thing that we should be doing when we think about what we want 2014 to look like is to ask ourselves, what does God want 2014 to look like? What does God want to accomplish in our lives? Where does God want to take me? Now, I know this is different than probably how most of us think. I know it's definitely different than how the world teaches us to think. Because the scary thing about doing this is truly what you have to do is you have to humble yourself. And you have to realize that the path that's best for you is not the dreams that you have for your life, but it's the dreams that God has for your life. Where I'd encourage you to think about this is remember the footsteps in which we follow. Jesus himself said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Later in Genesis, in Chronicles, God tells his people, he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will hear the land. That's 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. But God's point is to his people over and over and over again is follow me. Let me be your God. Because brothers and sisters, here's the foolish mistake that so many of us make. We'll sit here and if I would ask you, do you believe that God is all powerful? You'd say yes. If I asked you, do you believe that God is all knowing? Most of you would say yes. And if I would ask you, do you believe that God completely and utterly loves you? You'd say yes. But then most of you in your life, when God goes, let me lead you, you go, nope, I got this. I got this. And God's going, why won't you let me lead you? You know I have the power, you know I have the wisdom, and you know I love you. Enough that I'll die for you. Just follow me. Just follow me, and I promise you, I will lead you to the life you've been hungering for. I will lead you to the promised land that you're seeking in your soul. I will lead you to a place where you have peace that overflows. Just follow me. If you're a person who's tired of resolutions being broken, and if you're realistic, for most of us, you know how often that happens? Does anybody know when most New Year's resolutions end? About 6 weeks later. Most people make it 6 weeks before they fail. If you're tired of that cycle in your life of setting goals, trying to aim for them and failing, setting goals, aiming for them and failing, stop doing things the same way you always have. And instead sit back and go, God, what do you want for my life? God, where do you want to take me? God, what do you want to see happen in my life? Because brothers and sisters, here's the cool thing about God. If we are willing to humble ourselves and walk that path, I guarantee you, you'll be victorious. Because when God takes you on a path that he has paved for you, there is no obstacle you can't overcome. If there's an ocean in front of you, he'll dry it up. If there's a mountain in your way, he'll move it out. If there's an enemy that seems more abundant than possible, he will storm down and take care of them. God, throughout his pages, has shown his people, if you will just have faith in me, I will do what the world calls impossible. Will you have that faith? The only resolution and hope I have for next year is that I walk the path that God paves for me. That's it. Whatever happens along that journey, I can't wait to see. But I am excited to see when He reveals that. Because I'll tell you what, trying to be your own God is just a frustrating way to live life. Because no matter how hard you try, you always end up at the same place, realizing, you know what? I'm not perfect. I probably shouldn't be God. And you realize you have to look up to Him and trust in Him. Brothers and sisters, make 2014 a year where your only goal is to be with God. And I promise you, you will experience things upon that journey that you could have never dreamt of for yourself. That's how amazing our God is. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for the life that You give us. Because God, this life You give us, it's not just breathing in and breathing out. It's not just making it from one day to the next, Lord. It is truly an adventure to walk with You. It is amazing that You use us to do Your work. It's amazing that You allow us to help build up Your kingdom. And Father, when we will step back and we will let our egos disappear, and we will let Your love and power work in us, there is no feeling like that that this world could ever offer. Father, we are so thankful for You, who You are, and the love that You have for us. And Father, we're excited about the journey that You have laid out for each and every one of us. Father, You are our God. You are the Almighty. And today, Father, in spirit, we kneel before You and call You Lord. Father, in the name of Your most powerful Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. This time I'm going to ask Marie to come up and lead us in our invitational hymn. Invitations is a time for us to pray. It's a time for us to share anything with the Lord that we feel we need to. It's also a time to share any news that you'd like with the church, whether it's becoming a member or wanting to be baptized or anything else that's on your heart. But as always, it's so good to just worship with you and fellowship with you. And let us sing with all the joy we have to our God and let Him know just how much we love Him. Maria?
To God be the glory.
To God be the glory.
once again, great morning. I love worshiping with you guys and fellowshipping. I hope you have a great week. May you go out, may you love God, may you love people, and may you follow Jesus every step you take.